It is a particular privilege and pleasure to be back here at Heart of the Palms. It's just 20 years ago since I first came here at the beginning of the work. And on this Thanksgiving Day, there's surely very much to thank the Lord for in the developments and in the improvements that have been made here at the Heart of the Palms. We can certainly praise Him for all that is past, and truly trust Him for all that's to come. So it is with glad hearts that we rejoice again in the faithfulness of the Lord. We returned to the States in August, and I have been teaching at the Washington Bible College, teaching 5 courses there. Introduction to Missions, Christian Life, Evangelism and Church Planting, Comparative Religions, Missionary Medicine. And then in our graduate school, Capital Bible Seminary, I've been teaching a course on personal evangelism. We certainly can thank the Lord for what He has been doing in the lives of many of our students. So many of them are already committed to going to the mission field, and for this, we certainly give thanks to the Lord. I had said 2 years ago that I was retiring from the college, but somehow I always seem to come back. It's good to be here. Now this morning I would like to direct your attention to Psalm number 103. Psalm 103. The last time at a Thanksgiving service here, I think it was 2 years ago, we looked at Psalm number 100, Psalm of Praise. This time it's Psalm 103. And it says in the Schofield Bible that I'm looking at, a psalm of unmixed praise. As we know, it's a psalm of David. Psalm 103. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless His holy name. I think we should all say that together, don't you? Let's do it in unison. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits, who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfieth thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. I wonder if that has got any reference to our Thanksgiving dinner today. So you'll know what happens after your mouth is satisfied with good things. Your youth is going to be renewed like the eagles. The Lord executeth righteousness and judgment for all who are oppressed. He made known His ways unto Moses, His acts unto the children of Israel. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and plenteous in mercy. He will not always chide, neither will He keep His anger forever. He hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as the heavens are high above the earth, so great is His mercy toward them that fear Him. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath He removed our transgressions from us. As a father pitieth or has compassion upon his children, so the Lord pitieth or has compassion upon them that fear Him. For He knoweth our frame. He remembereth that we are dust. As for man, his days are like grass, as a flower of the field, so he flourisheth. For the wind passeth over it, and it is gone, and the place thereof shall know it no more. But the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting upon those who fear Him, and His righteousness unto children's children, to such as keep His covenant, and to those that remember His commandments to do them. The Lord hath prepared His throne in the heavens, and His kingdom ruleth over all. Bless the Lord, ye His angels, that excel in strength, that do His commandments, hearkening unto the voice of His word. Bless ye the Lord, all ye His hosts, ye ministers of His, that do His pleasure. Bless the Lord all His works, in all places of His dominion. And together we're going to say, bless the Lord, O my soul. And may the Lord indeed bless this portion of His word to all of our hearts, for his name's sake, shall we again look to the Lord in prayer. Gracious and loving Father, we thank thee that in the name of thy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, we can approach to thy throne today. We thank thee for all that thou dost mean to us. We thank thee for giving the Lord Jesus Christ to be our Savior. And we know that with him, thou hast freely given to us all things. And for this, we magnify the name of the Lord together. Now we do ask that as we study these words that are before us, that by the Holy Spirit thou wilt enlighten us. Help us, Lord, to think clearly, to speak lucidly. Help us in our hearing so that we may be conscious that we are hearing the voice of the Lord speaking to us through his word. This we pray with much thanksgiving in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. During these days that we will be together, I want to speak on the subject of commitment. This morning we are going to consider the importance of commitment to thanksgiving. Already, we have been reminded this morning of the words written by the Apostle Paul in 1 Thessalonians 5 verse 18. In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. So we really are committed to thanksgiving. In everything, give thanks. This is the practical dimension. For this is the will of God. This is the spiritual dimension. Concerning you, this is the personal dimension. Now, Psalm 103 is a wonderful hymn of thanksgiving, and it is really unequaled in all of the world's literature. David expresses his deep gratitude to the Lord and exhorts all those who know his name to give praise because of who he is and because of what he has done for us. And so he opens this psalm with the words, "Bless the Lord, O my soul." First of all, then, is to think of a divine person to whom he is paying this tribute. There is the acknowledgement here of his lordship. You remember in the 23rd Psalm, David wrote, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." A little girl had tried so very hard to learn that lovely psalm, the 23rd. She said it over and over so many times that now she thought, "I'm sure of every word." "Mother," she said, "I've learned the shepherd psalm. So will you hear me say it, please, tonight, before I go to bed, and after I pray?" When evening came, and the little girl's bedtime too, this is what she simply said: "The Lord is my shepherd, that is all I want." And then she stopped, for memory failed her quite. Now don't you think in making this mistake, the little girl said something very true? For having Jesus as our shepherd friend is all I want, can well be said by you. In the 23rd Psalm, David is saying, "The Lord controls my life. The Lord cares for my needs. The Lord comforts my heart. The Lord confirms my hopes, for I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." In Psalm 24, he asks the question, "Who is this King of glory?" And the answer given is, "The Lord of hosts." He is the King of glory. We worship, we praise, we magnify and give thanks to the Lord this morning. When we became Christians, we acknowledge Jesus Christ as our Lord, in that he is divine, the Son of God. Romans 10:9, as the chorus says, is a favorite verse of mine, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth Jesus is Lord, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. That was a wonderful day when first we acknowledged Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. As we followed the Lord in believer baptism, we also again acknowledge that he was Lord of our lives. As we come together for the remembrance of Jesus Christ at the Lord's table, we proclaim the Lord's death until the Lord himself shall come. In our homes, in bringing up families, they should be brought up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. In all our work, whether we call it secular or spiritual, all our service should be done as unto the Lord. Whatsoever you do, do it unto the Lord. Because, as Paul says in that letter to the Colossians, ye serve the Lord Christ. And then the Apostle Peter, in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15, he exhorts us to sanctify in our hearts Jesus Christ as Lord. It was Ruskin who wrote that we can never give the Lord the second place, because if we try to do so, we are not really and truly acknowledging his complete lordship. And as has been said again and again, if he is not Lord of all, then he is not Lord at all. So we bless the Lord, the acknowledgement of his lordship. But the psalmist goes on to say, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. The appreciation of his greatness. This is the expression of a heart filled with true gratitude to the Lord and overflowing in praise to him. It's not just a token of appreciation here. It is total appreciation of the Lord. Because he says, bless the Lord, O my soul. He's thinking of the inward response to all that the Lord means to him. And he says, all that is within me, bless his holy name. So this is wholehearted, complete devotion to the person of the Lord. My whole being expressing what the Lord really means to me. Oh, how wonderful he is, beloved. The appreciation of his greatness. You remember, in Luke chapter 1, concerning the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ, it was said, he shall be great. We would say with the psalmist again this morning, yes indeed, the Lord is great and greatly to be praised. The acknowledgement of his lordship, the appreciation of his greatness, and then we read, bless his holy name, the adoration of his name. In the prayer of dedication given by Solomon in 1 Kings chapter 8, verse 42, he is thinking particularly of those who are outside the nation of Israel, who may be visitors to the nation, who want to come and see what God is really doing amongst his people. And in that prayer, Solomon says, they shall hear of thy great name. Bless his holy name. You will recall in Isaiah chapter 6 that when the prophet had that vision of the Lord, three times over came the words, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory." Oh, beloved friend, we worship, we praise, we give thanks to his holy name. In Philippians chapter 2, we see how the Lord Jesus Christ was the one who identified himself with us, who became a servant, who humbled himself and became obedient to death, even the death of the cross. Solemn, challenging work. But then we read that God has highly exalted him and given him a name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. And so we think of the preeminence of his name, a name above every name, which will be acknowledged when every knee shall bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, the preeminence of his name. But, oh, beloved, we think this morning of the preciousness of his name. How sweet the name of Jesus sounds to a believer's ear, because his name is like precious ointment that is poured forth. There is a fragrance that comes from even the mention of his wonderful name. In Acts chapter 4, verse 12, the Apostle Peter says, "Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved." The preeminence of his name, a name above every name, the preciousness of his name, how wonderful it is to us. But think of the power that there is in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ that can affect the joy and blessing of salvation. Then we read in verse 2, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits." A divine provision. First of all, in restoration, as we see in verse 3, "Who forgiveth all thine iniquities and healeth all thy diseases." Some of us have a better forgettery than we have a memory. It is comparatively easy to forget. And when we are getting just a little bit older, we find sometimes our power of recall is not as sharp as it once was. And sometimes a name or a place may elude us. We may forget. And I'm always glad when my wife is with me, because again and again I find that her memory is often better than mine. And she helps to recall to mind some facts that perhaps I have just, for the time being, forgotten. Beloved, we may forget many things, but none of us can ever forget his benefits, his blessings, because they are so tremendous. John Newton, who wrote the hymn Amazing Grace, and several other hymns as well, a man who had such an amazing conversion. When he was getting up in years, he had another man go with him to prompt him. Sometimes, due to a lapse of memory, John Newton would forget something that he wished to say. And this man who always accompanied him would be there just to keep things right. On one occasion, John Newton got up and said, "Isn't the Lord precious?" Paused for a moment and he said, "Isn't the Lord precious?" The man who was with him said, "Excuse me, Mr. Newton, you've said that already twice." He said, "Yes, I know, and I'm going to say it the third time, for isn't the Lord precious?" We can never forget all his benefits. "Who forgiveth all thine iniquities?" What a wonderful assurance we have that our sins and iniquities have been blotted out and will never be brought up against us again. I well remember the night that I became a Christian. I was almost 12 years of age. That night, I think the preacher's text must have been, "Be sure your sins will find you out." Because I realized that night, as I'd never done before, that I was a sinner before God and that I needed divine forgiveness. And I remember so well that night praying the prayer of the publican, "God be merciful to me, for I know I'm a sinner." And then I asked the Lord Jesus to come into my heart and to be my Savior. And then I remember I could sing as I'd never sung before, "'Tis done, the great transaction's done. I am my Lord's, and he is mine." And the verse I got as I left that meeting that night was 1 John 1:7. "The blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin." But notice also it says here, "Who healeth all thy diseases." When A.P. Gibbs visited New Zealand, we were discussing this matter of healing. And he said to me, "Brother, I believe the Lord will heal me of every disease until the last one, and then he'll take me straight home to heaven." And that's where he is now. "The Lord will heal us of every disease until the last one," he said, "and then he'll take us straight home to heaven." I was talking to a dear brother over in New Zealand, and he used to pray in the prayer meeting regularly for those who had old age and other things creeping over them. We always wondered what the other things were. And I asked him one time, "Well, how are you, Brother Denson?" He said, "Well, as you've noticed, my hearing is not much good nowadays. I've got to wear a hearing aid." He said, "My eyes are giving me real trouble. I can't read as I used to read." And he said, "I've got real bad rheumatism in my knees." But he said, "Otherwise, I'm really very well." Now that was giving thanks in everything. And so we can thank the Lord for restoring us again and again when perhaps we have been laid aside. Maybe we're not just feeling as well as we once did, but we thank the Lord for his goodness to us in restoring us as he has done. Then in redemption it says, "Who redeemeth thy life from destruction or from the pit, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies." What a wonderful word this word redemption is. The basic meaning of the word is to buy back. The thought is of a price having been paid. And we know who paid that price. Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed me white as snow. And we thank God today for the fact that the Lord Jesus Christ at Calvary paid the great price for our redemption. Because you remember in Ephesians 1 verse 7 we read, "In whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins." He paid the price. Not only did he pay the price, but praise his name, he has set us free. And this is what the New Testament is teaching in regard to redemption. Not only has a price been paid to set us free, but we have actually experienced the mighty deliverance from the power of sin and Satan. We have been delivered completely from the penalty of sin because the Lord Jesus Christ purchased our redemption for us. And the ultimate in the redemption story is the redemption of the purchased possession, when the Lord himself will come and will take us out of this world, and we'll be ushered in to the presence of the Lord. All that will be glory for me. The redemption of the purchased possession. In restoration, in redemption, and then in renewal. Because verse 5 says, who satisfieth thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. Now, of course, eagles live a long time. Their longevity is a well-known fact. Year by year they molt, discarding these feathers and then being renewed. You remember the words of Isaiah and Isaiah 40 verse 31. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall walk and not be weary. They shall run and not faint. There is this renewal that comes to us by the indwelling Holy Spirit day by day. The Holy Spirit is the Spirit of renewal, giving us the enablement to fulfill our responsibilities as those who belong to the Lord. A divine provision. Then in verse 6 and through to verse 10, we have a divine protection. We note, first of all, the guardianship of the Lord. The Lord executeth righteousness and judgment of justice for all who are oppressed, so that when we seem to be completely surrounded with all kinds of obstacles, and when oppression and even depression may descend upon us, we can be assured of the guardianship of the Lord, because he surrounds us like a military garrison. As we commit everything to the Lord, Philippians chapter 4 tells us that then the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall surround, shall guard our hearts and minds by Christ Jesus. So that in times of difficulty, in times of despair, even in times of desperation, we can always be assured that we have a divine guardian who is not only interested in us as individuals, but praise his name, he is interested in every single item that concerns each one of us. He knows. He loves. He cares. Nothing that truth can do. He always gives the best to those who leave the choice with him. And in the darkest night, under the most perplexing circumstances, we know that we have a divine guardian who is tenderly watching over us in love. David prayed in Psalm 16, preserve me, O God, for in thee do I put my trust. And it's interesting to note that in 2 Samuel 8 verse 6 we read, and the Lord preserved David wherever he went. He could say in Psalm 32 verse 7, thou art my hiding place. Thou shalt preserve me from trouble. Thou shalt compass me about with songs of deliverance. Praise God for his guide, for his guardianship. But then we note in verse 7, his guidance. He made known his ways to Moses and his acts unto the children of Israel. In Exodus 33, verse 13, Moses makes this request to the Lord. Show me now thy way. And in the next verse, the Lord says to Moses, my presence shall go with thee, and I will give thee rest. So that Moses can then say, if thy presence go not with me, carry us not from here. The Lord has promised us his guidance. Again, looking at Psalm 32, David could write the message that the Lord brought to him when his promise was, I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way that thou shalt go. I will guide thee with my eye. You know, dear friends, I'm very interested in the comment that is made in Exodus chapter 13, verse 18, concerning God's guidance in relation to his ancient people Israel. It says there, he led them about. Notice the word about. You know, we like to go from point A to point B by the direct route. But the Lord led his people about. And sometimes the circumstances through which we pass are very difficult to understand. And sometimes we wonder, is the Lord really guiding me in these matters? Is this his direction in my life? That as we look to him, his promise is as sure today as it was in David's day. I will instruct thee. I will teach thee. I will guide thee with mine eye upon thee. And then we note divine grace in verses 8 through 10. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and plenteous in mercy. He protects us, he saves us by his grace. He will not always chide, we read, neither will he keep his anger forever. He hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. Here we see, surely, a wonderful definition of what grace is. The unmerited favor of God. But if we had received what we deserved, we would have been banished from his presence forever. The hymn is right when it says, grace that is greater than our sins. Ephesians 2 verses 8 and 9 speak of saving grace. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Saved by grace alone, this is all my plea. Jesus died for all mankind, and Jesus died for me. But then in Romans chapter 12, and at verse 6, we read of serving grace. Gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us. And as God gives spiritual gifts to us, he always gives the corresponding grace in order that we may fulfill our spiritual responsibility. Serving grace. In James 4 verse 6, we read of sustaining grace. He giveth more grace. Grace upon grace, for every circumstance, every condition in life, there is always an adequate supply of divine grace. Grace is a charming sound, harmonious to the ear. A divine person, a divine provision, and a divine protection. We'll stop there, and we'll pick up again tonight, Psalm 103. Now we're going to sing a hymn together. And it's in your book, but it hasn't got a number, because it's right in the front. As you open your hymn book, you'll see it right there. Praise the Savior, ye who know him. Who can tell how much we owe him? Gladly let us render to him all we are and have, because of all he means to us. Our response is, Lord, we want to praise and magnify thy holy name. Right in the front of your hymn book, I'm sure you all can see where it is. Again to his name. Blessed Lord and Master, we would bow this morning before thy scarred yet sacred feet and recognize again how much we owe to thee. We thank thee, blessed Lord, that thou didst give thyself as a sacrifice for us at Calvary. And how we thank thee today, not only because of what thou hast done, blessed Lord, but because of what thou art in thyself. We would come again to sing the matchless worth that in our Savior shines. And we do thank thee for reminding us this Thanksgiving day of the many benefits with which thou hast blessed us. As we recount thy faithfulness to us during this past year, Lord, we can certainly praise thee for all the many blessings which thou hast given to us. And here this morning we would pause again to say, thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. And we do ask that as we remember all thy many gifts to us, as we think of the divine provision that thou hast made for our needs, how we thank thee. As we remember thy divine protection over us, again and again, we magnify thy holy name. How good is the God we adore. And we thank thee, blessed Lord, that the best is yet to be. For we read in thy word that thou art even now preparing a place for us there in heaven, and that soon we shall be where we would be. Soon we shall be what we should be. Things that are not now nor could be then shall be our own. How we thank thee for this glorious prospect that we have as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, that one day, and we believe that day could be very near, when we shall be ushered in to the glory of thy presence. Even now, blessed Lord, we hear thee say to us this morning, surely I come quickly. And our redeemed hearts would respond today in joyful anticipation, and we would say, Amen. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen.